Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. My message this morning I'm titling Joseph and Forgiveness. We had mentioned at some point how we thought that one of the ministries should have a message on forgiveness, and Terrell kind of left it up as if one of us felt led to talk about it. And up to this point, I hadn't, but after going through the members' meeting with the single sisters Wednesday evening, it just felt like that's what I was supposed to preach about this morning. So as we think of Matt being home now, starting to interact with him, I mentioned it Wednesday evening, but some of us have already had to work through some of those emotions of forgiving him for some of the things he did, ways that he may have hurt you or I personally through that. But forgiveness is something that we have to keep working on throughout our lives with many relationships. Maybe you're here this morning and struggling in your marriage, and it's because of one of you or both of you struggling to forgive. Maybe there's a relationship in your family, siblings, parents, same thing, that there's either on your part or the other one's part, there's bitterness there. And that's the word that kept. I didn't think about it when I started studying, but as I studied for this message, the word that I feel like in Scripture, you often have two words that mean the opposite thing, and as you look at one, you often have to look at the other. And for forgiveness, the opposite of it is bitterness, and you'll see that as we look through Scripture this morning. If there's a lack of forgiveness, it's usually there's a brood of bitterness somewhere in our heart that we're struggling with. But for those of you who have studied and looked at types and shadows of Jesus in the Old Testament, you'll know that Joseph is one of the strongest types of Christ. And so turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to look at the life of Joseph and his brothers, but even going back before that, the story of Joseph's mother and his brothers that hated him so much, their mother. And we'll see here an example of where a lack of forgiveness and bitterness can just be so destructive. Psalms 37, I'm going to begin at verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. We often think of the story of Joseph that this is where the root of bitterness, lack of forgiveness, lack of love started. But I believe this feud, this bitterness, started, like I mentioned earlier, with Rachel and Leah. So long before the Hatfields and McCoys, if you've heard of that feud, there was a feud of two sisters who were not only blood sisters, but they were married to the same man. I've read or listened to stories from the polygamous set of FLDS, and they're very sad stories, but when you hear some of those stories, it is so similar to what you see here in Scripture with Rachel and Leah. When you're in a polygamous relationship, the women struggle for power, position, and love because they're all trying to get the love and have the top position in the family. And there's only one man, and that's what we see in the story here with Jacob. They often try to have the most babies, thinking the most babies will bring the most love from their husband. And we see that here. If you go back into Genesis 29 and 30, you'll see that over and over. Scripture talks about how Leah bore Jacob 4 sons, and she thought, now he'll love me. Now he'll respect me. Now he'll, what all the things she desired from her husband. And it talks about how Rachel then became jealous of Leah. You would think Rachel shouldn't be jealous. She had the most love of Jacob. It says it. Jacob always came back to loving her more than the others. But she now was jealous and wanted sons of her own. So this fighting and hatred and just a mess. We can say, well, it started here when Joseph was little, but I think it started long before he was born. And it just continued on. Genesis 29:30 says, he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet another 7 years. So we see that power struggle there. But Jacob didn't just have 2 wives, he had 4 wives. If you go and look at the story there in Genesis 29 and 30, a maid of Rachel's and a maid of Leah he also married. Why did he do that? To try to bring peace in the family. If you're already having struggle with 2 wives, will 2 more make it more peaceful? No. And so that's what we see here with this story. It's so sad. I'd never thought about it before, but I wondered, did Jacob have to marry Leah to get Rachel? I was going to talk to the young people this morning, and I forgot they're going to be at the nursing home this morning, but I just wanted to tell them, young man, young woman, if you're in love with someone and the doors are not opening, don't try to force them open. If it's God's will, he will open those doors. And I believe that is so true here. Jacob did love Rachel. That's who he truly wanted to marry. But his father-in-law tricked him. We know the story. I believe there would have been a way where God's will could have been, where Jacob could have married Rachel and could have found a solution. But Jacob, we know, we look at Jacob's life at this point. God's spirit was not in him, I don't believe, at this point. And he was trying to do everything in his own wisdom, in his own strength. And I believe he made a very bad choice of going along to marry Leah to try to get Rachel, when if he would have put it into God's hands, there could have been a better solution. But as we see with God, he can take a bad situation and still turn it out for good. Because we know that those 12 sons of Jacob are what the Jewish people, the nation even today, come from. And there's promises that God made to those 12 tribes. And so even though we look back and go, well, was there a better way? Was there a way to avoid all this? But that's not the way it turned out. Power, desire, sin, whatever all played into it to get there, led to this feud between Rachel and Leah, and it got passed on to their sons. Because Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, he then turned and loved her sons more than he loved Leah's sons. And we see the setup here for what took place. But let's go on, Genesis 37, verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more, for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brother envied him, but his father observed the saying. So I think what we see here, did Joseph have control over his dreams? No. None of us have complete control. We dream things, but maybe we don't want to. But in this case, God was trying to prepare Joseph. But we could look at Joseph and go, why did you ever tell your brothers? I think we do see, even though Joseph is a type of Christ, we see Joseph's humanness. He should have just kept those dreams to himself. And then when God brought the things to pass that took place many, many years later, he could have seen that God was in it all. He had gave those dreams when he was a boy. But that's not what happened. And so it was just fuel on a fire that was already blazing in his brothers' hearts and minds. And that bitterness and hatred between Joseph and his brothers grew. Verse 12, And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And then we'll jump down to verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass that when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. They sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked and beheld a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery, balm, and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. I'm going to pause there. So I believe that, I don't know how aware Jacob was of the bitterness towards Joseph, but apparently he was not aware of the level that it had grown to. Or I don't think he would have ever sent Joseph down there. But once again, that hatred and bitterness in their hearts, you could say, well, they had justifiable reason for some of that. Look at how Jacob had treated them. Look at how he had treated Joseph. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. And yet, they let that bitterness just sit there and grow. Are we doing that today? Is there something in our lives that we can sit there and make excuse for? Yeah, there's a justifiable reason we should. Somebody said somebody mistreated us, and we're allowing that bitterness to just sit there and grow, and we're not forgiving. But here that bitterness grew up, maybe you say, well, I would never let my bitterness get to the level of killing someone, but yet that happens every day in America, that someone's bitterness gets to the level where they're either premeditated or in a moment, that bitterness leads to murder. And I think that's why Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22, You have heard of that it's been said of them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Why was Jesus saying that they would be in danger of hell? It's because Jesus knew that bitterness, we see it here in the example of Joseph's brothers, if we allow that bitterness to grow and grow without forgiveness, even if we never get to the point of killing someone, our hearts are in the place where we could. And so we need to be very careful. And so Jesus, like he did over and over in the Sermon on the Mount, instead of letting something go and to the point of an action, in the Old Testament, as far as I can tell, men could have terrible thought lives, but as long as it didn't go to the point of actual adultery, it wasn't considered sin. And then Jesus came along in the New Testament and said, take this higher standard, cut off the fornication, the thoughts of adultery, because those are equal to actual adultery. And we see that here with bitterness and how Jesus viewed that. So it would seem as we look here at the brothers, now I want to be clear, Benjamin was younger, he was at home, so he was not a part of this. But out of the 10 brothers who came from Leah and her maid, I believe, if I remember right, there was one brother, Reuben, who seemed like hadn't quite gotten to that place in his life yet. But it would appear that to a certain point he was willing to go along with it, even if he wasn't there. Genesis 37:36, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. We know the story well. When do you think Joseph began to forgive his brothers? Or did he never harbor any ill thoughts towards them? We never see that he does. But I believe Joseph was human. He was not like Christ. I'm sure there were times on that journey to Egypt when the thoughts in his mind were not good towards his brothers. Did he start forgiving them when he was in prison after Potiphar had thrown him in prison? Did he start forgiving them when he was in Pharaoh's house leading the operation to store away grain for 7 years? By all accounts, it looks like that forgiveness began on the way to Egypt, and that's the way it should be for us. Even when we could say, well, the people have not done anything to deserve forgiveness. His brothers, I don't want to forget it, so I'll say it now, but I don't think we see until the very end, until after Jacob had died, was the first time we see the brothers truly, truly sorry for what they had done. Were they scared when they stood before Joseph and Joseph revealed himself to them? Yes. But I don't think we see true repentance. It wasn't until they knew that there was nothing, there was every right, Joseph had every right to hurt them, make them slaves, kill them, whatever, and their father could not protect them anymore, that they truly, it seemed like, asked forgiveness and were sorry. But in Joseph's life, that's where I want our focus to be, not on the brothers, but on Joseph this morning. Turn to Genesis 39. We have the story of Joseph in Potiphar's house. Genesis 39:1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put in his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. If Joseph had had a bitterness in his heart towards his brothers at this point, I don't believe that God would have chosen to bless him. Could God have blessed him anyway? Yes, he could have. God's actions can be irregardless of our own. But we see here, it does not appear that Joseph was bitter at all. Then we go on to verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Once again, Joseph had every right, you could say humanly, to be bitter. Now he could be bitter not just against his brothers, but against Potiphar for knowing the truth, but yet throwing him in prison. And we see here, we know that if there's a bitter prisoner in jail, for those of you who have visited jails, some prisoners who have truly made things right with God, you don't sense that bitterness, but many prisoners are very bitter and just angry. And you come across that when you visit prisons. And so if Joseph had had that attitude, I don't believe there was any way that the warden of the prison would have put him in charge. And I don't believe God would have been able to prosper him either. Let's go on. Genesis chapter 45. Verses 5 to 12. Was Joseph showing bitterness when how he treated his brothers when they came to Egypt? The sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people in the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but he made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And we know that he goes on, and he accuses them, why are you coming? Are you coming to spy? Are you coming to see what you can get? And you could argue that it was a sign of bitterness, but as we see, each part of Joseph's actions towards his brethren, I don't believe had anything to do with bitterness, was rather to test his brothers, because he knew where his brothers' hearts were when he had been sold to the Midianites. And he wanted to test and see if there was still that bitterness, that hatred. It's partly why he played the game to try to get them to bring Benjamin back to Egypt. He wanted to see what their reactions would be if Benjamin got put in prison, or Benjamin got accused. And I believe that's why he did the cup and the money, was once again not to be vengeful, not to get back at the brothers, but to see if they were truly changed men from when he had last known them. So once again, I believe he had forgiven them. We'll see that Genesis chapter 45. We have here where Joseph then reveals himself. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it is not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. What we see here is a man who could have done a lot of things to his brethren short of killing them if he was still harboring hatred, bitterness toward them. And yet we see a man who was very emotional, cared about them, loved them, in spite of what they had done to them. and talk to them about basically showing his forgiveness to them by saying, you know, you sent me, but it wasn't really you, it was God who sent me. He had a higher purpose. And that's just amazing to think of what all he went through. The slavery, missing out on all the growing up of being with his father and his brother Benjamin. All the things that he could have said, this ain't right. This is just, you guys stole so much from me. Look at what all I had to endure. Being away from my family, being in Egypt. And yet we see Joseph forgiving them. And how was he able to be used of God? Was because of that forgiveness. You would think now with what all Joseph did that the brothers would have understood that he had forgiven them. But let's turn now to Genesis chapter 50. I kind of alluded to it before. But Genesis chapter 50, verse 14. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, and after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we are thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people. So we see here that the brothers had struggled all these years to truly believe that Joseph had forgiven them. Even though he had forgiven them, I believe, like I said, on the journey from Canaan to Egypt. It doesn't mean that those pains, the things of loss, the things that they had hurt him with, didn't come up later. That's the thing about forgiveness. I think there's maybe the false assumption at times to think that when we forgive someone, that pain will never come back. But I believe that forgiveness is a process. It doesn't happen all at one moment. Maybe for someone in a certain situation it did, but I think for many of us, forgiveness is a process, not a moment. In closing of this message, I want to look at some New Testament passages. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to jump around a little bit here, but Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this passage in the second part of Ephesians 4 is all about the renewing of our mind, about putting on the new man and putting off the old. Jumping down to verse 29 then, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Here we're called to not grieve the Holy Spirit by hanging on to bitterness, by hanging on to unforgiveness, of not forgiving someone that's hurt us. The ESV says the last word rather than evil or malice is slander. I think that's a term we're familiar with today. If you, depending who you slander and how much money you have, they might come after you and sue you for slander. for saying things that put you in a bad light. And I would say that most times when we hear of some situation where someone was slandered, it did come from bitterness or a lack of forgiveness in the person who did it. But we are called as believers to forgive as Christ forgave us. Our sins put him on the cross. Are we not willing then to forgive others if he forgave us? Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The once saved, always saved crowd often does not like to hear of conditional statements in the New Testament that God will do such and such if you do such and such. But here's a clear one that I just don't see any other way around, that if we want to be forgiven of our sins, it says that we must forgive others. Do we understand how serious that is? If we truly want God to forgive us, we cannot hold on and not forgive others around us. Does that mean if you are struggling with bitterness that you aren't saved today? I'm not saying that at all. But if you're not working on it, if you're not asking God to help you to grow in that, to gain that forgiveness towards someone, then I think you are treading in dangerous waters. We need to be careful. Why would we not forgive when we look at what all Christ forgave us? We see a great example of the greatest example of forgiveness in Luke 23, verses 33 to 46. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said the Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, deriding him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers mocked him, coming to him and offering vinegar. We know the story here that he would then go on to tell one of the men hanged with him there that, you know, the one said, you know what, don't ridicule Christ. Don't slam him. He didn't deserve to be here. We did. And Jesus promises that he will see him in paradise. But we see the greatest example of forgiveness from Christ. Jesus, the creator of the whole universe, of all creation, knew when he came to earth why he was coming. He knew he was coming to die and rise again for our sins. So when did Jesus forgive us? Once again, it didn't start on the cross. It started before he even came, because he knew why he was coming. Think of what all Christ suffered for us. He didn't deserve it, and yet he loved us so much that he forgave us and was willing to do that. And we see a parable in Matthew 18, though, for the final passage here. Matthew 18, beginning at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So this morning we understand that our forgiveness of someone else is not what brings repentance in their life, but that is our part. Someone else trespasses, someone else sins. We, as their brother or their sister, are called to forgive and to love. Not because it's the easy thing to do, but because it's the right thing to do after what all Christ did for us. The Lord bless each one of you.